If I thought I had to fulfill that, I'd be scared to death. But I know that there's one greater than I. And if it's His desire for you to be fed tonight, you'll be fed. Because I'm just mere flesh and I know I'm nothing. But my desire is that He would feed you. And if it's His desire to use me tonight, I pray that's the way it'll be. It's good to see you. Some of you don't know me, but there's a lot of out there that know me. And I've built relationships with over the past few years. And it's sure good to see you. It's good to hug you. Some of you haven't hugged yet. Before this reunion's over, you'll get hugged. Because I'll search you out and do that. I just come back from a neat experience with the young people up at camp. And I witnessed the power of God move through those young people. We really had a neat service last night. It lasted till I don't even know what day it is. I think it's the Friday night, I guess. And I think I'm in Independence, Missouri. Anyway, that service lasted till after midnight. And I witnessed the Spirit move among these young people, and many, many of them stood and bore testimony. It took a lot of courage for some of those young people to do that. But they felt the Spirit of the living God, and it moved upon their hearts and touched them. I really don't. Know for sure what the Lord wants me to bring tonight, but there's things upon my heart that I'd like to share with you. I guess I can start with that. You know, my brother that was here before me today, and he mentioned the Book of Commandments. I don't use it much, but these first revelations that was given to Joseph Smith in this book, I love very much, and they have great meanings to me. And I want to start sharing some out of this, the second revelation. It was given in 1828 to Joseph after Martin had lost the manuscript. It says, "My work shall go forth and accomplish my purposes. For as the knowledge of the Savior has come into the world, even so shall the knowledge of my people, the Nephites and the Jacobites, the Josephites, the Zoramites, come to the knowledge of the Lamanites and the Lemuelites and the Ishmaelites, which have dwindled in unbelief. And for this very purpose are these plates preserved, which contain these records, that the promises of the Lord might be fulfilled, which he made to his people. And that the Lamanites might come to the knowledge of their fathers, and that they might know the promises of the Lord, and that they may believe the gospel and rely upon the merits of Jesus Christ, and be glorified through faith in his name, that through their repentance they might be saved." I believe that that's the purpose for this record. That our brothers, our Native American brothers, would come back to the knowledge of who their forefathers are. And they would come to the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they might know the way to come, the way that they might be saved. You know, noting the words here, when Christ is speaking to Joseph here, he says they might. That don't necessarily mean that they all will be, does it? That they might be saved. That they might believe the gospel. And through faith in his name and through their repentance, they might be saved. And I guess that's probably the greatest burden in my heart. That is that our Native American brothers will come to the understanding of Jesus Christ, and come to repentance and be saved. And I know that there will many will come, and I know that many won't. It's their choice. It's like all of us has come, it's been our choice. And so if they're obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, then they have faith upon the Lord and they repent, and they're baptized, and baptism of the Spirit and laying on of hands, and endure to the end. In obedience, they will be saved. Same thing we have to do. And I guess what I want to stress tonight, brothers and sisters, that those of us in this room that have made that covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, we are Israel. We are the remnant of Israel. That's who we are. And you cannot become Israel unless you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and come down into the waters through repentance and make that covenant with the Lord. Then you become Israel through Jesus Christ. And so today we represent Israel. We're the representations of Israel today. We're the remnant. I want to go over in the Book of Mormon on page 44. But you know, the Lord loves the children of Israel and the blood of Israel, and He's made promises to them that in the last days they would come to the knowledge of their Savior. I believe I'll begin reading about verse 16 here. Now the thing which our Father meaneth concerning the grafting in of the natural branches through the fullness of the Gentiles is that in the latter days when our seed shall have dwindled in unbelief, yea, for the space of many years and many generations, and after the Messiah has manifested himself in body unto the children of men, then shall the fullness of the gospel of the Messiah come unto the Gentiles, and from the Gentiles unto the remnant of our seed. What a responsibility. He just laid it on us, brothers and sisters. That's our responsibility, is to take this record and take the gospel of Jesus Christ back to the Native American people. At that day shall the remnant of our seed know that they're the house of Israel. And notice he says at that day, there will be a day, and there will be a remnant of the Native American people will know that they are of the house of Israel. We might say, well, that's already taken place. There already is among our membership in the body of Christ, Mayan brothers, Mohawk brothers. There's probably a few others I don't know of. Brothers and sisters that are already in this body of Christ. But I believe that's just the beginning. And that they are the covenant people of the Lord. And then shall they know and come to the knowledge of their forefathers, and also the knowledge of the gospel of their Redeemer, which was ministered unto their fathers by Him. Wherefore they shall come to the knowledge of their Redeemer, and the very points of His doctrine, that they may know how to come to Him to be saved. And then at that day will they not rejoice and give praise unto the everlasting God, their rock and their salvation? Yea, at that day will they not receive the strength and nourishment of the true vine? Yea, will they not come to the true fold of God? And we are the true fold of God. We are the true vine of God. We are His restored church. You know, over in the book of Romans, Paul talks about the restoration of Israel and the grafting in again of Israel. It's over in the 11th chapter of Romans. But I want to go over there for a moment. It says, I say then, has God cast away his people? You know, today if we was to look at the... Man, I hate to stand behind this thing. I like to walk around when I preach. That's like hobbling me or something. You know, when we look around today, and of course I live among a remnant of the seed of Manasseh, and I minister among them. And I've come to know them and to love them very much. And, you know, as we go into the book of Romans here, and as Paul brings this out, he says according to it's written in chapter, verse 8, God has given them a spirit of slumber, and eyes that should not see and ears that should not hear until this day. You know, I believe we can compare that to this day we're living in, too. And as David said, let their table be a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and blow down their back away. I say then, how they stumble, have they stumbled, that they should fall? God forbid, but rather... through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles. You know, if the house of Israel hadn't rejected the gospel, we wouldn't even have had it. But because they turned away from it, we have it today as Gentiles. But I believe that is still relevant today among the Native American people, that he's given them a spirit of slumber. And he's covered their eyes. He's put a wall of unbelief and a wall of tradition between them and the true light, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I can see that wall and their eyes starting to be open. You know, we're living in a time and in a day when they're about to be raised up. And so I can see the beginning of that, where I'm at. I've labored there for 7 years. And just recently, we see the Spirit moving among them and seeing them responding and seeing them start to accept the gospel. I talked to you at conference in the spring, this last spring, and I was telling you about a young man, his name was Roger Jock, and that I was hoping that it wouldn't be too long he'd be baptized. And when Jim and Hubert come up this spring, we baptized him, didn't we? And that young man's boy's had some neat experiences since he's got a hold of Christ, and he's had many dreams and many visions, and so he's really had some experiences of the Lord, and he has the courage now to stand among his people, among his family. There's 15 brothers and sisters in that family, and they're all traditional. And now he's bearing witness and testifying of Jesus Christ to his family. And I'm sharing with two of his brothers. I've got him into the Book of Mormon. I've got him praying to the Lord Jesus Christ. What a miracle for a traditionist to pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I see it starting to happen. He talks about the grafting in of the natural branches back into the root. Brothers and sisters, we're the root. We're the root of Israel. That's who we are. We're the remnant. that holds the truth and holds the gospel and holds the keys to the kingdom. We're the root. And so he's about to graft back in the natural branches of the house of Israel back into this root. And I'm going to ask a question. Are you ready? Are you ready for them? Are you ready to accept them for who they are? You know, they have a lot of different ways than we have. Maybe some things that might offend us or that we might get upset over. But we have to be ready to accept as God grafts the natural branches back into the root. And we have to reach out with love and bring them into this body. I was hoping that Roger and Diane was coming, but they didn't make it. But they told me they were going to make it to the Phoenix reunion. You'll have an opportunity down there to accept them. Now, Roger, he might not be just... You know, Roger's a Mohawk, and he's got a Mohawk haircut, doesn't he, Eli? He's not ashamed of him being a Mohawk Indian. But he loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and he stands and bears witness of him. So then, you know, there might be some things about him that might offend you. I hope not. He says, if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. And brothers and sisters, we've partaken of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Oh, how we're blessed. You know, sometimes it overwhelms me to think that just a few, just a remnant, hold the truth. What a responsibility that is. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. And thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, and I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith, so be not high-minded, he says, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, he also don't spare us. I guess what I want to say, you know, there's a scripture in the Book of Mormon that says, all is well in Zion. All is well. Don't fall asleep here. Things are about to happen. It says, behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fell, severity but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. What a warning to us. You know, as I look out there, I see all those young people that was with me at camp, or I was with them, it was their camp. And it was a privilege to be there with them, and a privilege to make reacquaintance with some of them, and I haven't been there for, I missed a year, so boy, some of them have grown, and I couldn't hardly believe it, how they grow. Just over a year, 2 years. But I hope that the Lord is maybe opening up your hearts to this message, because you're the future. You know, there's a number of us that are working and laboring among the Native American people now, but we're getting wore out. One of these days won't be able to get around much. And it's going to be you young people that have to carry this message back to the Native American people. Hopefully the Lord will create a desire in some of your hearts to do that. And they also, if they abide not, still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. You know, and I've wondered about that, and as I've worked among them, and I've seen the hardness and the disbelief, not wanting to believe, I've wondered, how are you going to do it, Lord? You know, how are you going to open up these people's minds to receive this beautiful message? But he's capable of doing that. I have to go back to Roger, for I taught Roger for 4 years. He accepted it this spring. Accepted the gospel. Accepted Christ. Accepted him last winter. And was baptized this spring. Oh, how hard that was for him, brothers and sisters. Of course, I can relate with him because of tradition. Probably tradition is the hardest thing on any of us. Traditions of our fathers. And a lot of it don't have a thing to do with the gospel, our traditions. But we want to hold on to them. Just as he desired to hold on to his, and how painful it is to let go of traditions after we've held them so long. And they've become truth to us, but they're not necessarily true. And so it's a painful thing for these people to lay down their traditions, to let go of them. How painful that is. Man, it was, I know I relate to that because, I used to go across the street over here. That was my tradition. And I believed that. But that wasn't necessarily true, was it, brothers and sisters? But see, traditions aren't not necessarily true. And how painful it was for me to let go of what I had there when I started letting go of it. So I relate to our Native American brothers and their and sisters in their traditions and the painful way they have to lay them down. But you know, the Lord told me, he said, don't go to him, Bill. Let him come to you. And that's what I did. I never once went to him. And he would come and he'd ask me questions and he'd try to say, well, I can take my traditions and I can take Christ and I can mix them together. And I said, no, you can't do that. You got to lay them down and get a hold of Christ. And until you do, you're never going to know joy or never know happiness. And so it took time after time after time until he finally laid them down and took a hold of Christ. And I used to try to get him to pray to the God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he just couldn't bring himself to do that. He couldn't bring himself to say Jesus Christ. To recognize that Jesus Christ is his Lord and Master. I guess I'll share a little testimony with you. The last traditional gathering he went to of his people, they gather 4 times a year and they have these ceremonies and they go there to give thanks to the Creator. And it's called the Strawberry Festival. And they give thanks for the strawberry. And in that festival, they sing and they dance and they give thanks to the Savior and they give thanks to their Creator, which that's who He is, if they just knew. And they burn tobacco. They let their prayers go up on the smoke of that tobacco. And they drink this strawberry juice. And as he was singing, he looked across the circle, and he saw the manifestations of spirits. And he saw an old Indian. When he turned and looked at him, he said he had eyes of fire, and it just scared him to death. And then he started seeing the manifestations of people that were dead, that died. And so he went home, and when he got home, he tried to go to bed, and when he got in there, he got sick. Real sick to his stomach and bad pains in his stomach. So he went into his bathroom and he knelt down and he started throwing up. And he started throwing up this strawberry juice. And he only drank just a little, but he was throwing up gallons of it. And so he knew that there was an evil spirit trying to possess him. And so he got on his knees finally and asked in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to rebuke this spirit. And the Lord immediately rebuked the spirit. And from that time on, he took Christ. And he's had many, many experiences, many dreams and many visions since then. In fact, the week before I come, he had a visitation of an angel. And so the Lord is working in this young man's life and doing things with him. But he had to let go of his traditions. He says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that the blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." You know, and I want to stop right there on that and go over in Luke, you know, where Jesus speaks in chapter 21, and he talks about when the fullness of the Gentiles would be. In the 24th verse, he's speaking of the Jews would be driven and scattered and all manner of things happen to them until, he says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive in all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." So we've, in our day, in our time, we've seen Jerusalem taken back by the Jews, and it's no longer treaded down by the Gentile nations. And so we know, I don't think there's one of us in this room that doesn't know and believe that we're living in the last, very last days, in the very last times, and that the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. How many of you brothers out there that's our sisters has tried to share this beautiful message we have in the Book of Mormon with the Gentile lately? You have any luck? Very little. Very little. I believe they've just about hardened their hearts to the point where their time's just about over with. And the Lord is getting ready to raise up this remnant of Israel, this remnant of the seed of Manasseh. I think we're going to see a day, not very far in the future, where we're going to see numbers of the Native American people come into the Church of Christ. And we're going to have to deal with that. We're going to have to be ready to receive them. He says, "And so all Israel shall be saved. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob." So that all of Israel might be saved, Christ, you know, is going to establish Zion. He's going to establish Zion. "And out of Zion will come the gospel that will turn the ungodly of Jacob to repentance. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins." And the only way that that can possibly happen is through faith and repentance upon the Lord Jesus Christ and baptism for the remission of sin. So they can't get it anyplace else. We're the ones that have it. We're the ones that have the responsibility to take it to them. And I think that my brothers that out there, I see them out there, I know the ones that are working among the Native American people now. He says, "For this is my covenant unto them when I take away their sins, and concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake." You know, he still loves them. And he still has a spot in his heart for the children of Israel, for Abraham's seed. And he's about to fulfill his promise of bringing them back to him. He says, for the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. You know, I thought about that. And I thought, yeah, that's right. We don't necessarily have to repent for the Lord Jesus Christ to get our attention. He got mine before I repented. I kind of relate that to Paul. He got Paul's, didn't he, before he repented. And so the gifts of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit of God, and the calling of God, didn't necessarily we have to repent to receive it. And that's the way it'll be with Israel. He's going to get their attention. He's going to get their attention. He says, for as in times past they have not believed God, yet now obtain mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. And what I believe the Lord is saying to us, brothers and sisters, that through us, through our love and our mercy and our compassion towards our brothers and sisters of the seed of Manasseh, that we're to reach out and to take this gospel and take this record back to them. I'm going to go back over in the Book of Mormon on page 646. I know you've probably had this read to you many times. You probably know right where I'm going. And Jesus here, he's speaking right directly to the Gentiles in our generation. He's speaking to us. He's speaking to all the restoration churches. He's speaking to all the Gentiles, all those in the Protestant churches, all those that profess Christ. I guess I'll start about verse 32, he says, but woe saith the father unto the unbelieving of the Gentiles. For notwithstanding they have come forth upon the face of this land and have scattered my people, which are the house of Israel, and my people which are of the house of Israel have been cast out from among them and have been trodden under feet by them. And they're still doing it. The Gentiles are still oppressing the Indian people. I witness it every day where I'm at. And I imagine you probably do too, don't you, Sam? They're still oppressing them. And because of the mercies of the Father unto the Gentiles, and also the judgments of the Father upon my people, which are the house of Israel, verily, verily I say unto you, that after all this, and have caused my people, which are the house of Israel, to be smitten, and to be afflicted, and to be slain, and to be cast out from among them, and to become hated by them, and to become a hiss and a byword among them. And that has been the plight of our Native American brothers. And thus commanded the Father that I should say unto you, at that day when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel, and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, and shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts above all nations. Well, we see that so much today. You know, I've tried to labor among the Gentiles, and I've tried to present the gospel to them and present the Book of Mormon to them. My brother, they don't want to hear it. They don't even want to hear it. Once in a while you'll find one. know, hear and listen and receive. And the reason is the Lord has prepared his heart and has a purpose for that man or that woman. So I believe there's a few Gentiles scattered out among them there that still will receive the gospel. And we're not to quit trying. But the field, I don't think, is very fruitful right now, brothers and sisters. But I believe it's going to be fruitful among the Native American people. And I hope that's maybe where we'll focus our strength on. He said, when they shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts above all nations and above all the people of the whole earth, and shall be filled with all manner of lies and deceits, of mischief and of hypocrisy and murders and priestcrafts, whoredoms and secret abominations. Boy, if we're not witnessing that today. You know these secret abominations? You know, anything we do in secret is going to be revealed. Whatever we do in secret is going to be revealed upon the housetops. That's what the gospel says. So if it's a secret, if we think it's a secret and it's an abomination, one of these days it's going to be revealed. And if they shall do all these things and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, behold, saith the Father, I will bring the fullness of my gospel from among them. And I believe we're going to see that happen. Of course, I believe it is when the Lord calls his saints to gather here. That he's going to take the gospel, the fullness of the gospel, this gospel of the kingdom from among the Gentile people. And he's going to speak to his children and say, come gather here. It's time. It's time to build up this temple and build up the city. But it'll all happen when that remnant's raised up among the Native American people. That's when you're going to see it happen. It's about to happen. And I will remember my covenant which I have made unto my people, O house of Israel, and will bring my gospel unto them. And I will show unto thee, O house of Israel, that the Gentiles shall have not power over you, but I will remember my covenant unto you, O house of Israel, and you shall come to the knowledge of the fullness of my gospel. And I don't think there's one of us here in this room tonight that don't believe that there's going to be one raised up among the Native American people. If you go over on page 89 in the Book of Mormon, Lehi has just placed the blessing of their ancient father, Joseph of Egypt, upon the head of his young son. He just put that blessing on him. And he says, now, my beloved Joseph, after this manner did my father of old prophesy. Wherefore, because of this covenant, thou art blessed. For thy seed shall not be destroyed, for they shall hearken unto the words of the book, unto this record. That's a promise. They're going to hearken unto this book. And there shall raise up one mighty among them, which shall do much good, both in word and in deed, being the instrument in the hands of God with exceedingly faith, to work mighty wonders and to do the things which is great in the sight of God, unto the bringing the pass, much restoration to the house of Israel and to the seed of thy brethren. You know, I can't help believe, brothers and sisters, that man now, young maybe, is being taught the gospel. Or maybe he's already been taught it. And he might already have been called into the priesthood. But he's about to be raised up to go among his people. And he'll have the power just not only just to go among them, but to convince them. To convince them. That's the hard part, is to convince them. Of course, I found out I can't convince anybody of nothing. It's only the Spirit of God that convinces of anything. If that Spirit don't touch a person's heart, you might as well forget it. You can talk to your blue in the face. And no matter how much you want a loved one, somebody close to you, a son or a daughter or a mother or a father or a brother, to receive this beautiful gospel and this beautiful message, Unless the Lord touches their heart, forget it. It's like talking to that wall over there. But this one will have the power to convince his people. And you know, I've pondered a lot on this and thought about this a lot, and I know that we as the body of Christ that represents him upon the earth, that has the priesthood, that holds the keys of the kingdom, we are the remnant of Israel. And so when I read over here in the Book of Mormon on page 659, and Jesus is speaking here, and he says that, "It shall come to pass, saith the Father, that the sword of my justice shall hang over them at that day, except they repent," speaking to the Gentiles. "It shall fall upon them, saith the Father, yea, even upon all the nations of the Gentiles." I was coming in today and listening to the radio, and the starvation and the terrible things going on all over the world on the Gentile nations. His sword has already fell on the Gentile nations. And he says all of them, so this one's included. It's about to fall upon this nation. "And it shall come to pass that I will establish my people, O house of Israel. And behold, this people will I establish in this land unto the fulfilling of the covenant which I have made with your father Jacob, and it shall be a new Jerusalem. And the powers of heaven shall be in the midst of this people, yea, even I will be in the midst of you." And he says this people, the ones that he establishes in this land, and I believe that includes us, because he established our fathers here. And we're the ones that hold the gospel and the ones that came to the gospel. But that don't leave out the seed of Manasseh. And as I read over in the 10th chapter, after he's just come down on the Gentiles and said if all these terrible things are going to happen to them if they don't repent. But he says in the beginning of the 10th chapter, "But if they will repent and hearken unto my words and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them." And I believe that he established his church. I believe we're it. That we represent him upon this earth. "And they shall come in unto the covenant." And I believe there's going to be many, many, many Gentiles that come into the church of Christ and into the covenant. And I believe that there's many of our brothers and sisters out there within the restoration groups. When they see the seed of Manasseh raised up and gathered into this center place with his body of Christ and become part of the body of Christ, and you see a foundation being raised out here, I believe you're going to see all kinds of people of the restoration groups come in here and want to be part of this work. And I believe there's a lot of Protestant churches that will come, that will repent and come. "They shall come into the covenant, be numbered among this remnant of Jacob." And there he's pointing right to the seed of Manasseh. "And unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance," or that could be this remnant and the seed of Manasseh, who he's given this land for their inheritance. "And they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob." All those Gentiles that repent and come in to the church of Christ will assist. "And as also as many of the house of Israel shall come, that they may build a city which shall be called the New Jerusalem." There's all the different tribes of Israel already here upon this land. They've already gathered here. There's every nation of the earth gathered here. They're already here. There'll be many of them that will come. "And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I also will be in the midst. And then shall the work of the Father commence at that day when this gospel shall be preached among the remnant of this people." I believe that's happening. I believe it happened when Apostle Wheatley went to the Yucatan, that the gospel started to begin to be preached among the remnant of this people. And it's grown and it's increased, and it's going to grow and increase more. As I thought about this scripture, we can go over to the book of Ether on page 750, and he makes it very plain who will build the city of the New Jerusalem. He says it will be the seed of Joseph. Of course, I believe that they will be the ones that will direct the work, and then we'll assist all those that come. He says, a new Jerusalem shall be built upon this land unto the remnant of the seed of Joseph. For which thing they has been a type, for Joseph brought his father down to the land of Egypt, even so he died there. Wherefore the Lord brought a remnant of the seed of Joseph out of the land of Jerusalem, Lehi and his family, that he might be merciful unto the seed of Joseph, that they should not perish, even as he was merciful unto the fathers of Joseph, that he should not perish. Wherefore the remnant of the house of Joseph shall be built upon this land, and it shall be a land of their inheritance. And they shall build up a holy city unto the Lord like unto the Jerusalem of old. And they shall no more be confounded until the end comes, when the earth shall pass away. And that's not saying, of course, I believe, and I'm sure a lot of you might agree with me, that there's many of the seed of Ephraim sitting out there in the congregation tonight. This is his land too. Ephraim and Manasseh. It's Joseph's land. But we're about to see a great and marvelous work among the Native American people. And it'll be done by the hand of the Lord. He's the one that's going to do it. He's going to accomplish it. And we desire to help him, and we'll be part of it. I don't think, brothers and sisters, that we will see the New Jerusalem or we'll see a temple unto the Lord until we see a remnant of the seed of Manasseh come into the Church of Christ and gather here to the center place to get on with this work. So let's don't put the cart before the horse. Let's go to who we're supposed to go to, whom Joseph was directed to go to in the very beginning. The very purpose of this record was to go back to the Native American. That they'd come to the knowledge of who they are and the understanding of who they are, that they might know where to be saved and how to be saved. And these are powerful words. The works and designs and the purpose of God cannot be frustrated. No matter what man tries to do, they're not going to frustrate the work of him gathering up the seed of Manasseh first and then the tribes of Israel in that order. Neither can they come to naught, for God does not walk in crooked paths, neither does he turn from the right hand nor to the left, neither does he vary from that which he said. He hasn't varied a bit in the last 160 years from what he said here. Therefore his paths are straight and his course is one eternal round. And remember that it's not the work of God that frustrates, but the work of men. I can't help believe the only reason that it isn't now is because we've gotten his way. And we've frustrated his work. Or we've not worked. Or have not had the desire to work among the Native Americans. He says, for although a man may have many revelations and have power to do many mighty works, yet if he boasts of his own strength and sets at naught the counsels of God and follows after the dictates of his own will and carnal desires, he must fall and incur the vengeance of a just God upon him. You know, it's easy to get caught up in a man. The whole history of the restoration movement is because they got caught up in the arm of flesh. And they desired to follow the arm of flesh and not seek the counsels of God. And that's why the restoration today is in the mess it's in. And that's why there's just a remnant of people that still hold the truth. I think Satan's done a pretty good job with the restoration. But I believe that the Lord's about to take a hand in this thing. And He's about to move in mighty power to bring forth His purposes. And they won't be frustrated. And you young people out there, you can believe that there is going to be a Zion. There is going to be a temple built on this lot to the Lord. And there is going to be a gathering of His people here and a gathering of the seed of Manasseh. You can believe it. It's the promise of the Lord. And that's not saying that we'll all be part of the work. Only if we desire it. And that's not saying that all the seed of Manasseh will be part of it. Only those who desire. But it's going to happen. I guess I've unloaded my burden. That burden is the Native American people. My burden is the Mohawk people upon the Akwesasne Reserve. That's my burden. Brother Jay and Don's is the Maya. That's their burden. Brother Sam's is the Cherokee. Joel and Hubert and Jim and those men and the Wheatleys and all those brothers, those elders are working among the Navajo. That's their burden. I guess what I'm trying to say is we need some help. Maybe the Lord will create a desire in some of you young men's heart tonight to carry the burden with us. Some of you young women. You know, unless the wife supports the man and had burden, it'll never happen. So it's the wife's burden too. And I look out there and I see many of my sisters tonight that carry a great burden, that sacrifice their husbands as they go into this ministry and are gone for days and weeks, months. A great sacrifice. Maybe I didn't bring anything to you. Maybe I made you a little more aware of what it's going to take to bring forth and establish Zion. And I know the key is humility. We got to lay down our traditions. And we got to seek the counsel of God and seek His Spirit. And we have to humble ourselves to do that. The key to our part in this thing, I think, is humility. You know, we all pray and we ask the Lord bring us revelation, direct us. We believe that, don't we? We believe that in these last days He's going to continue to bring revelation and direction to His church. And we as the body of His servants, when we go into our conferences about to come up, we have every right to expect, if we approach our Lord in humility, for Him to come into our midst and direct us. And give us new revelation and direction. If we'll come together as one in humility and ask the Lord to show us, not think that, hey, I know everything and you know everything, because I don't. But I'm willing to come to my Lord in humility and let Him direct me. I didn't think I was going to talk for just a few minutes up here. It's late, so I'll stop.
Thank you, Brother Bill. That sort of, in a way, gives us an idea of the work that we have before us. There's a lot of work in it, but there's a lot of joy in it too. There's more joy in working in the gospel of Christ and for the Lord than there is heartache. You carry burdens. You have burdens. That goes along with the ministry. Goes along with the gospel of Christ. But the joy certainly overrides it. I have a few announcements to make this evening. Tomorrow, brothers and sisters, this sets around. I'd like to ask you to turn to page 408. For the closing song. Shall we stand, please? Come to the close of this beautiful day. We are indeed grateful.